talk a little bit today about how we are ambassadors. You know, you have a job, actually. In case you didn't know, we all have a job as a Christian, as a believer. We're all believers here, right? Are you we believers? Yeah? Yes? Okay, good. So we have a job, and it's the highest position job that exists, and that's being an ambassador for God's kingdom. Okay? So what that means basically is we have, you know, a lot of people walking around and they don't know why they're living, right? And they're looking for something real, or, you know, maybe people believe in God, but he's somehow far away in a place where seems far away, can't really see, and so it doesn't really connect with their life situation, right? And so the whole reason why Jesus came is to connect with our life situations, where we're at, and show the reality and power of God's kingdom in that situation, in the situations that we find ourselves in. So, you know, God is not just for Sunday morning singing songs and listening to some interesting topic from a preacher, but it is actually connecting God, coming and doing things in our life and in our situation miraculously. Okay, so we're actually God's ambassadors. Every Christian is God's ambassador for his kingdom. And so people are, you know, that's why, you know, we go out on Saturdays and we go and ask if people need prayer for something, and we pray for people to be healed also, those who are sick or they have pain or something in their bodies and things. And, you know, it just, I mean, just the last thing that happened, you know, we were finishing up praying. A lot of, God did a lot of amazing things, and one girl had a crutch and she was walking on the road here. So I asked her, you know, what's wrong with her leg, you know? And she said, well, it was broken. Her knee was broken because she was in a car accident. And so he said, well, you want God to heal you? And she was like, yeah, of course I want God to heal. I mean, she didn't say of course, but, you know, like probably thinking, well, yeah, but, you know, how's that going to work, you know? And then so he just kneeled down and prayed, and all the pain was gone. She felt fine. She could walk without her crutch, you know, and she was like, you know. And so the thing is, you know, imagine for her what that means to her. You know, it means her whole way of thinking just went, you know, it's completely changed, and like, wow, God is real. You know, he's not just somewhere, but he's here. And that's one thing that Jesus said, and he told his followers, his disciples. He said, when you go and you talk to people about God and his kingdom, you say, the kingdom of God has come near you, right? He said, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you right now. You see, that's the message that people need to understand. And that's, as you know, that's our job as God's ambassadors, to bring people into the reality of God, to put people in contact with the miraculous power of God, if necessary, so that they understand that it's not just about words. It's not just about playing religion Sunday morning, but it's about real life, and God is there in our real life to transform the situation to be as it should be. Okay, so we'll look at that. I mean, first of all, we need to understand, and we probably already know, that God is love. 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. Okay, so if you can put on glasses of love and you think, what would love do in this situation? Okay, the example of the girl who had the broken knee. Well, if there is an all-powerful God, what would he want to happen if that all-powerful God comes in contact with that girl with a broken knee? Would love want to stop the pain and suffering and to heal her? Is that what love would want? Yes, right? I mean, if you have a child, I don't know, if you have a child and that child is in pain, broke his knee, whatever, you know, and, you know, he's in pain, you as a loving parent would want to stop that pain, right? If you could, right?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the position that God has put us in as his ambassadors. We'll read where the Bible says we are ambassadors. We are, this is our job. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just want to say that this is the job he's given us to do. It's a wonderful job. So never forget, before your other jobs, this is your main job, okay? As a believer, it is to share the reality of God in people's lives. And whatever love would do, that's what we're supposed to do, okay? And that's why, you know, we have these Bible studies, so we can learn to walk in the power of God, and we can, as we study the Word of God, it gives us faith to do these things, because it's not about, you know, some special gifting that I have or anybody else has. It's simply following the Word of God and using what God has put within us as a believer, right? When we opened our hearts to Jesus, we were born again, and God transformed our spirits. And now God's Spirit lives inside of us. And where God's Spirit is, there are no impossibilities, and that's what he sent us to do. Okay, so we are supposed to be, you know, God's representatives walking on this earth. Okay, we are God's children, and that's our job. Okay, so in Matthew 22:37-40, it says, you know, all of the law and all the scriptures, it can be summed up in these few words. You can read it there. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. You know, many people, they worry about a lot of things, and, you know, how to follow God. And Matthew 22,
yeah,
verse 37 through 40. And it says this. It says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Okay, and the second is like it. It says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So basically what Jesus is saying here is all of the scriptures, all the Bible, you can pretty much sum it up in this. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So basically, oh, that's fine. I read it out loud there. Yeah, 22, 37 through 40. Yeah. So that it gives us two commandments. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these things, then you are doing the whole heart of the scriptures, you know. And so if we look through life with these glasses of love in every situation, you know, if we see somebody is sick, you want to pray for them. That's just what we're called to do as God's ambassadors, because God is love. And so as his representatives, everything we do should be motivated by that love. Hello. So basically, if we don't know what God's will is, you simply say, well, what would love do? You know, what would an all-powerful, almighty, all-loving God do in this situation? Would he want to heal that sick person? Yes. So we go and we command the sick body to be made well, and God's Spirit comes in and heals that person. Okay? So in Luke 7, let's go to Luke 7. Luke 7. Luke 7, verse 11. Luke 7, verse 11. It says, "Now it happened that he went into a city called Nain." So Jesus went to the city called Nain, "and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd." So there was a lot of people with Jesus. "And he came near the gate of the city, and there was a dead man who was being carried out, and he was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her." Okay, so Jesus came across, they were carrying this man, he was dead, he was the only son of his mother, and his mother was a widow. And so it was a difficult situation for his mother. And Jesus had compassion. And he said to her, don't weep, don't cry. And then he came, he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he was presented to his mother. Okay, so what do we notice about this situation? Jesus saw a dead man, and he saw the crying mother. And Jesus was moved with compassion, with love for that mother. So for that reason, Jesus raised this man who was dead to life, simply because he had compassion, right? So, you know, the love of God is supposed to tell us what to do. Just like in this situation, Jesus was motivated by love and compassion to do what he did, and that was to raise that dead boy, dead man. So that is how we are supposed to be led. How do we know if we're being led by the Spirit? Well, if we're motivated by love. What would love do in that situation? That's God's will. Okay? So it's actually very simple. You know, we can, if we think, it can all boil down to loving God and loving our neighbor as ourself. And that's what we do. That's what we're called to do. And in 2 Corinthians 5:14, you don't need to go there, but I'll just say, it says, the love of Christ controls us. That's our goal. That's what we want to happen, that the love of God will be so much a part of us that we don't need to think, what's God's will in this situation? Is it God's will to heal, or is it God's will not to heal? Well, what would love do, right? And the love of God, the love of Christ, should control us and tell us what to do. Okay? Just like Jesus was motivated by compassion, so he did that. So, you know, our job is not to go around to condemn people. Oh, you don't know God, you're a sinner, you're going to, you know. That's not our job, okay? Jesus, it says in John 3:17, you know John 3:16, God so loved the world that he came and he gave his only son. But John 3:17, it says, he did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world could believe. Okay, so our job is not to go and to somebody and say, oh, you're sick and you're a sinner and you don't know God and so you're gonna be judged. No, it is to go and to do as Jesus told his disciples. He told his disciples, go share the good news, heal the sick, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Because the Bible says the goodness of God leads people to repentance. In other words, it's not because God is going to punish them that it causes people to want to know God. I mean, sometimes that can happen, but it's the goodness of God. I know many people who, you know, they say, well, it's just when they think of a God of judgment, that doesn't draw people to God, but the love of God does draw people to God. Okay, so when we go and we pray for the sick and God heals them, people see the goodness of God, even though they don't deserve it. You know, just this last Saturday, many people got healed, and, you know, some people were drunk as we prayed for them, you know. But we prayed for them, and God healed them anyway, right? And so you know, sometimes I meet people and, you know, they've been drinking and, but, you know, they just sense the Spirit of God and they just bow their heads and said, I want a new life. I'm tired of this life. I want to stop what I'm doing and I want to change. You know what I mean? Because they feel the goodness and the love of God, not condemning them because they're drinking. And we don't go and say, oh, you know, no. We go and we say, hey, can we pray for you? I notice you have something wrong in your body. God wants to heal you. And God heals them. And they're like, oh my, here I am, semi-drunk or drunk or whatever the case may be. And God just healed me, healed my body. That is showing the goodness of God, you see. And the goodness of God brings people to God, right? So that is, as his ambassadors, that's what we're called to do. We're called to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Say, the kingdom of God is near you right now. You want to reach out and touch God? Well, look, he wants to reach out and touch you too. Boom, be healed. And their body is healed, and they discover the reality of God and the goodness of God. Okay, and that brings people to God, just as Jesus was motivated by compassion. Okay, so in Luke 10, verse 8 and 9, we can read that. It's not far away. We were in Luke 7 there. Let's go to Luke 10, just a couple chapters over. Luke 10, verse 8 and 9. So Jesus is telling his followers what to do. He's about to send them out, right? Just like we do on Saturdays, we go out into the community here, pray for people, and many people get to know Jesus. But so Jesus is sending out his followers here, and he's instructing them about what to do. And let's jump to verse 8. It says, he's telling them, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat things that are set before you. In verse 9, it says, and heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Okay, so I quoted this before, but I just wanted you to read it as well. So he's saying, when you go somewhere, is somebody sick? Heal them. Simple. It doesn't say, you know, sometimes it's God's will, sometimes it's not God's will to heal. No, it's very simple. You go somewhere, there's sick people, you heal them. Simple. It doesn't say pray for them. It says heal them. Right? In Mark 16, the Great Commission, it says, preach the gospel and then these signs will follow. Lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Healing, you know. It doesn't talk about maybe. It doesn't talk about, you know, praying for the sick. It talks about healing the sick. Because the Word of God, when we believe it and act on it, works. God works. The Spirit of God works. The Spirit of God is all powerful. There's nothing impossible for him if we simply believe. So it says, when you go somewhere, heal the sick that are there and tell them, hey, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Okay? That's our job. To demonstrate the kingdom of God, the love of God, wherever we go. Okay? So, you know, sometimes many people think, you know, I'm saying this because it's the first time here I've said these things before, but just so you know, it's like some people think of, you know, sickness and disease as something to even help us sometimes to get closer to God or something like that, right? Many people say, oh, you know, I think I'm sick because God wants to teach me. I used to think like this, you know. I used to think, oh, maybe God, you know, wants to, maybe he'll give me a cancer to teach me some lessons. Or yeah, I was thinking stuff like that, you know. But it's like sickness and disease is not our friend, okay? Death and sickness and disease is a result of what happened when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And then death and sickness and disease came into the world. The Bible talks about that, you know, in the end, Jesus, death will be destroyed. I wrote this down somewhere. I was going to share it later. But death is referred to as an enemy. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. It says, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So there will come a time when God will destroy death. There will be no more death, you know, when Jesus returns and all of this. So death and sickness and disease is something that you can turn to Acts 10 and read it. Acts 10, verse 38. I really like this verse. Talks about what Jesus was doing, how he was going around and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So Acts 10, verse 38. It says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. Okay, so that's our job. So, you know, we prayed for a job and that's good, but just remember, this is first of all your job, right? Yeah. To live as Jesus lived, to follow him and do the things Jesus was doing, right? 1 John 2:6, it says if anyone says that he follows Jesus, then he should live like Jesus lived, right? So it says he was going around doing good and healing all. Okay, it doesn't say heal some of them, right? It says heals all. He was going around healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Okay, so there it talks about healing and people who were oppressed by the devil. So sickness and disease came from the result of sin, which was the result of Satan deceiving Adam and Eve, right? So Satan is linked to sickness and disease because it has its origin in sin, which was caused by the devil, and therefore every sin and every sickness and disease is actually linked to the fall and thus to the devil. So that's why it says here, Jesus was healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So I have a question. Is God with you?
Yeah.
Is God with you?
Yeah.
So then if God is with you, should we do the same thing? Do good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil? Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. I believe that's in John 21. He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So our job, our mission is the same like Jesus. Okay? I mean, Jesus paid the price. We don't have to die on the cross. He already did that, thank God. We just get to walk in the victory Jesus provided, right? So, but, you know, it's the same thing. We're called, John 14:12, it says, Jesus said, the works, the things that I do, you will do also, and even greater works, because he goes to the Father, and he would send the Holy Spirit to us. Okay, so that's our job description. Now, I just want to talk about, you know, the king, a little more about the kingdom of God. It says, let's go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. First John 1, verse 5, we're going to read over there. 1 John 1, 5. Okay, so it says, this is the message which we have heard from him, and we share it with you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, then we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from sin. Okay, the main thing I want to look at is verse 5. It says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay. There are two kingdoms, right? We have the kingdom of God, because God is light. The Bible talks about how God is light, and there is no darkness in him. And then there's the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, the enemy, right? And those two kingdoms are at war. Okay. I mean, the battle is already won. Jesus defeated the devil. But still, sometimes there's two countries will be at war, and then one of them wins, but some of the soldiers who are fighting on the other army, they didn't They don't know about it. They keep fighting, even though the war is finished, right? Or it's like there are laws, you know, don't steal, but then there's still criminals that go and steal, even though there's a law in place, right? So that's the situation here. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, and the war is already won. Jesus won the war, but still the devil and his soldiers of darkness, they still are fighting, and they think, you know, they're trying to do whatever damage they can do. But it's, so we just need to see that there is a war happening, and one of the things that the devil tries to do is to get in your mind and to take away your weapons, right? We have spiritual weapons, right? The weapons we have, they are, you know, the Word of God, for example, the truth of God. With the truth of God, we know it says, for example, you know, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So the devil will try to steal that truth away and say, well, you know, sometimes it's God's will for people to be sick, for example, right? What's he doing? He's trying to take, to steal away our sword, our weapon, you know, and he's trying to convince us that, you know, it's not always God's will. And that's why, you know, it's so important that we study the Word of God, and that we've studied, you know, many times about how it's God's will to, you know, to heal the sick, and every time that we, in faith, pray that God does that. So we need to be aware of this. And 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, we need to take prisoner every thought, okay? The devil will try to come in through our thoughts and convince us, you know, did God really say that? That's what he told Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Did God really say, lay hands on the sick and they will recover? It's just sometimes. No, he'll try to come in and you know, convince us that it's not true. And so we need to take every thought captive, because we're in a battle. In Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, it says, it talks about how that we... our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities and the powers of darkness. There is a war right now. There are spiritual forces, demons, okay, that are around. And we, as a child of God, walk in the light of God, in the power of God. And the devil wants to try to take away our sword, our power to defeat him, okay? So we need to know that we're in a war, but our job is to go set people free, okay? Colossians 1, let's go to Colossians. That's after Philippians, which is after Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, Colossians 1, verse 12. Let's read Colossians 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Okay, I'm going to read from this. Okay. Giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. Okay, so it talks about how we are in the light. You see, we're of the kingdom of light. So we have an inheritance in the light. And he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Okay, so it talks about we have an inheritance in the light. God is light. In him is no darkness, right? So he has rescued us from the domain of darkness. So that's the devil's kingdom, right? And now we are transferred into his kingdom. So there was an actual... we were here, right? In darkness, and then God's kingdom is here. And then the power of darkness and the enemy's kingdom is here. God, when we received Jesus, actually removed us from there, and he put us in his kingdom. Okay, so in Ephesians it says that we are sitting with Jesus in the heavenly places. Okay? So, our spirit, we are sitting with Jesus in our position in Jesus. We are not under the power of the devil, and he cannot hurt us. Luke 10:19, it says, God has given us authority over all the power of the devil. Okay, so God removed us from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and put us into his kingdom. And so now our job, okay, we have the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. So, you know, Jesus came, right, into this the world, the kingdom of darkness. And he was crucified, he paid the price, so that we who are in this kingdom of darkness can be transferred into God's kingdom of light. Okay, so here we are in the world. Jesus came and was crucified and resurrected, and now he sent his Holy Spirit, and so he transformed our spirit. And so now we, even though we are with Jesus in spirit, seated in heavenly places, we are still living in this earth, right? But we don't belong to this kingdom of the earth, this kingdom of darkness. We belong to the kingdom of light. So our job now is to do as Jesus was doing and set people free here by sharing with them that Jesus is real, that they can know God, to demonstrate the kingdom of God, heal the sick, whatever we need to do, so that people can come in contact with God, so they too can be removed from this situation and put into the kingdom of light. Okay, and then eventually, you know, when we leave this earth, we are just going to be in the kingdom of light, you know, as well. So there is this war going on. And so we need to kind of think like a soldier, okay? Paul said to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith, right? And he's talking about don't become too involved in the things of this world. Don't think too much about those things, but put your mind in heavenly places, because you're in a war, okay? And we have a job to do, a mission to do, okay? So we are soldiers. Let's read this about being ambassadors. I talked about it before. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, because he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so we are ambassadors. We represent God. We represent his kingdom. That's why we can heal the sick. You know, God does it through us, and we can say the kingdom of God has come near you. Okay, and it says, he made the one, Jesus, who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we become the righteousness of God in him. You know, sometimes we just need to think about that, what Jesus really did for us. He became sin and we became righteousness. It's like he changed places with us. And so it's just an amazing thing. Okay. So, you know, I talked about last time that we should put on the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ, and that we just need to put on these glasses of love. Whatever Jesus would do, that's what we're supposed to do. Okay. Let's go to Luke 7. Luke 7. Verse 2, we're going to read about the centurion who came to Jesus asking for him to heal his servant. Okay, we'll start reading at verse 2. It says, and a certain centurion servant who was very dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him and pleaded with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him, saying that this person is worthy for whom he should do this, because he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. So Jesus went with him, and when they were not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, "Lord, don't bother yourself. I'm not worthy that you should enter my roof. Therefore, I didn't even think myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority. I have soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." Okay, so he's talking about authority here. This centurion recognized that Jesus had authority. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Okay, so Jesus said this centurion had great faith. Okay, and this centurion was not even a Jew. Okay, Jesus was sent to the Jewish people at that time. And so actually this centurion, it says he recognized the authority that Jesus had. Okay, so this is a key to understanding faith. Right? Jesus has all authority, and he gave this authority to those who believe in him, to over all the power of the devil, to heal the sick and all of this. And so it's not about us anymore, you know. It is about recognizing that Jesus has all authority, and therefore his authority, Matthew 28, he says all authority has been given to him. And then he tells his disciples, so you go and you heal the sick, you do all these things, because all authority has been given to him. And this is why Jesus said the centurion had great faith, because the centurion recognized this. That it's not about, you know, trying to get somebody healed, but Jesus had authority to do it. Okay? He had authority from his Father to do that. And so we have this authority from Jesus to go and heal the sick, because he sent his disciples to go preach the gospel and heal the sick. So we don't need to struggle, and we don't need to ask God to do it. He said, you go and you heal the sick, right? We read that earlier. Preach the gospel, heal the sick. This authority was given by Jesus to do that. Okay, so ambassadors have the authority from the country which is sending them. You know, an ambassador from the United States has the authority of the United States government behind them, right? So you and I, as ambassadors for God's kingdom, God has given us authority to represent his kingdom. And what we say, it represents the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you, because you represent the kingdom of God. We are called to represent the kingdom of light. And so we are to go and represent him in God's authority. Okay. So Luke 10:19, I read that before. It says how we have authority over all the power of the enemy. Okay. All right, let's just finish up with this one in Ephesians. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, so what do we see right there? We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, so in other words, it's not our power per se. It is his power which works through us, right? So it's not our authority. It's the authority of God, of Jesus, that works through us. Okay? So, but we are to be strong. In other words, we are to recognize that God has put this authority and power in us by his Spirit. And so we can be strong in his power, right? We don't walk around thinking, oh, I'm so strong because of my power. No, it's the authority of God. It's his power. And we can be strong because we know that and we walk in his power. Okay, verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the tactics of the devil. Okay, so... Okay, so we need to put on this armor of God. It's not just automatically on us. Like when you wake up in the morning, your clothes don't automatically appear on your body, right? you gotta put your clothes on, right? I mean, you can try, you know, and just walk outside and see if your clothes appear on you, but I don't suggest you do. You need to put on your clothes, okay? So in the same way, it says we need to put on the armor of God. Okay, so it's like it says in, it also says to put on the new man, which is like Christ. Okay, we have the old mindset, the old way we do things, and then we have the new man, which God created when we're born again in our spirit. So we need to put on the new man, we need to put on the mind of Christ, and we need to put on the whole armor of God. Okay. Because we're in a war, there's a kingdom of darkness, there's a kingdom of light. The devil wants to try to, you know, to get to the soldiers of light, right? So we need to put on the armor of God so we can stand. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we're in a war, whether we realize it or not, whether we like it or not, we're in a war. And we're ambassadors for God. We're soldiers of light. And so we can either put on the armor and learn to use our sword, or we can be a victim of the enemy and his fiery darts that he will shoot at us. We can either be a victim of our circumstances and be without hope and say, oh no, everything's against me. I can't get out of this situation and everything is hopeless. What has happened is the devil has shot a bunch of his fiery darts into our mind and he's convinced a lot of people that they're without hope, that their situation will never change, that, if they're sick, that they'll never get well, or whatever, you know. That's how the devil shoots at people, right? And so we need to put on the armor of God, sharpen our sword, learn how to use it, because, well, if we don't, the devil still will against us. So, you know, it depends if we want to be a victim or we want to be more than conquerors through Christ, right? Jesus gave us the victory. He defeated the devil, but it's still up to us to walk in it. If we don't walk in it, if we don't put on the armor of God, put on the mind of Christ, put on the new man, then we will not walk in the victory that Jesus provided for us, okay? So it's something we need to do. We need to decide in ourselves, okay, I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to be an ambassador for God, and I want to help set people free, because if we don't, we'll just be one of the victims, okay? So put on the whole armor of God, and we do not wrestle, okay? So therefore, take on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, so it's talking about something that you do, having done all, right? So it's not talking about sitting around and thinking that we're going to become full of faith and you know, able to do things just because we're sitting there and God is going to magically wave a magic wand over us and say, okay, today, Chris, I'm going to give you all power just because I feel like it. Boom. No, it's like, yeah, you need to obey the Word of God. You need to put on the armor of God. You need to renew your mind to what the Word of God says so that you can begin to walk in faith and the power of God that he has put inside of you already. So you see, it's not a matter of God giving you something more than you already have. He has given you everything. He transformed your spirit. If we are in Christ, then we are a new creation, right? And he has put everything within us, but for us to walk in it, we need to understand, you know, what God's will is, number one, and then how to walk in it. And that's why we study the Word of God here, you know, so that we can do that. Okay, so take on the whole armor. Verse 14, stand therefore, having put around your waist truth, and having put on around the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, so it talks about around your waist, you put on truth. Okay, truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word became flesh. Okay, so we need to study the Word of God so we have truth. That's part of our armor, okay? Studying the truth, knowing the truth, all right? So if we know the truth, for example, I was using the example about we know it's God's will to heal the sick, so then the enemy cannot come in and convince us that it's sometimes not God's will to heal the sick because we know the truth, right? Okay, so truth is part of our armor, and also righteousness, okay? In 1 Corinthians 1:31, it says, Jesus is our righteousness. We are not righteous because of our own works, right? So the devil will try to convince us that we are not perfect, and, well, we're not perfect, right, in one sense, but in another sense, we are, because Jesus is our righteousness. So we do not do things based upon our own righteousness, but based upon Jesus, who is our righteousness. You understand? So we need to have this knowledge that Jesus is our righteousness, and therefore we can have faith when we pray, because we know we have the authority from Jesus, right? It's not because I'm so good and therefore God will hear my prayer, but it's because God gave me his righteousness through Jesus, therefore our prayer, we can lay hands on the sick and they recover, for example. And having put on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, we're also preparing, you know, this gospel, how to share the gospel with people right now. And above all things, okay, so he listed some things, and now he says above all things, right? He says above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay, so all these things are important, but if you don't take up the shield of faith, then the devil will hit you with his fiery darts, right? So the shield of faith is very important. It says, without faith we cannot please God. Hebrews 11, over there, 6 or something. It says, without faith we cannot please God. But faith is not a thing. Some people view faith like money, spiritually. If you have enough faith, then you can get that answer from God. But faith is not like money. Faith is simply helping us to focus on something. Faith is not what's important. What our faith is in is important. You understand? I mean, faith is important. How do I say this? I have faith in this chair, so I sit on it. I know it's going to hold me, right? How can I say this? Some people focus so much on their faith, and they try to see, how much faith do I have? Do I have faith to do that? Do I have faith to lay hands on my sick and on the sick and see them recover? And some people will say, no, I don't have faith for that, right? But it's not about your faith. It's about God, who is good, who fulfills his promises, right? So our faith is in God, that he will do what he said he will do, right? We're not supposed to be looking at our faith and seeing, do I have enough faith? If you do that, then the answer is no, you don't. I mean, you do have faith, because if you have Jesus, then you have faith. Because it's the same faith that you accepted Jesus by grace, you are saved through faith, right? It's that same measure of faith that you receive Jesus that enables you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Because it's faith in God. It's not faith in your faith. It's faith in God. You see, you had faith in Jesus that he would save you, and so you're born again when you receive him. So, same thing when healing the sick. It's not, okay, I'm going to try to have faith now. In Jesus' name be healed. No, if you're thinking like that, then forget it. You can't have faith in your faith. It's faith, it's knowing that God is faithful. He fulfills his promise. He said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Therefore, I lay hands on the sick and they recover. You don't have to worry about your faith. Your faith is not the important thing there. It's supposed to be there. It is important, but what I'm saying is you don't think about it, just like you don't think about the fact you're breathing, right? You just breathe. Breathing keeps your body going and stuff. You don't have to think, okay, gosh, I need to breathe now. How can I breathe? Faith is our spiritual air. Faith is the realm in which we operate with God. Faith is simply trusting God at his word. He says something, we do it. Lay hands on the sick, they recover. Okay, God, lay hands on the sick. Okay, God's going to make them recover now because I'm doing what he said. That's all. It's not about, do I have enough? Enough what? Faith is not something. Faith is trusting God in the goodness of God. That's all. So we need to get that out of our mind about trying to have enough faith and trying to, you know, it's just simply believe the word of God, believe he is good, do what he says, and he is faithful to do what he promised. That's all. Okay. So that frees us from trying to do it, you know. We can't try to do it. God will do it as we simply believe in him. Okay, what verse were we at there? We were, verse 16. We're in Ephesians 6. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So if you have faith, the devil can't touch you. There's nothing he can do. The devil tries to come in and whisper to you, you're without hope, your situation won't change. But faith says, no, God promised to supply all my needs. My God is faithful to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a promise of God. So, you know, we use the word of God and we believe in faith what God says. So then we reject what the devil says. Oh, that your situation's not going to change and all this. We reject it. Okay? So take that shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay. Now you'll notice all these things, armor, shields, those are all defensive, right? But we have one offensive weapon, and that's our sword, right? The word of God. So we need to get familiar with our sword, right? And learn how to use it and use it, right? You know, in the army, there's people, you know, you can study how to be a soldier from books, right? And you can learn things, but that's very different from a soldier who's actually been doing it, you know what I'm saying? And using his sword, you know what I mean? So it's important to study, but it's important to do it, you understand? We can sit here all day, every day, and read the word of God and study it and become very familiar with it. But until we do it, we will never know it. You understand? Because knowing is not just a piece of knowledge you put in your head. It's something you experience. And that's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to experience. That's why in James 1:22 it says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but if you do that, you're just deceiving yourself, thinking you're spiritual, but you're not. Because true spirituality is taking the word of God and living it and seeing people set free because you are living the word of God and setting people free around you. Okay, that's true spirituality. You know, so the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is our only offensive weapon. We must become familiar with it. That's why we're here, right? To become familiar with the Word of God so that we can use it and we can act on it in faith and see people's lives change, see people's bodies change, see whole communities change. How big is your vision? How big is your God? My God's pretty big. My God can easily transform a nation, right? The problem is finding enough people who will believe that and who will join alongside to help do that. Because it is not impossible. It's very possible, but God works through people. God has limited himself. You know why? We're going to study this sometime, maybe next time. God's plan for man. In Genesis, it says that God created man to have dominion over the earth. God put everything under man's authority. And that's why God has limited himself to work on this earth only through people. Why doesn't God just snap his fingers and make all the evil disappear? Why doesn't God just snap his fingers and heal everybody? Why doesn't he just send angels to come down and just take care of things? Why doesn't he do that? Because God gave mankind. Let me clarify that. Mankind, people. God gave human beings authority over the things of this earth. That's why the devil in the Garden of Eden, he had to trick and deceive Adam and Eve to fall. He couldn't just take power. He had to deceive them in the mind and convince them to follow another path away from God. And when people, Adam and Eve, did that, then Satan was able. You see, whatever we follow, that becomes our God, really, you know. If we follow God, he is our God, right? If we follow the devil and his deceiving lies, then he becomes our God, you see? So when Adam and Eve decided to follow the devil's way, then what happened is they gave their authority over the earth to the devil. And that's why now we see all kinds of evil going on all around us in the world, because man gave authority to the devil. So now in Jesus, in God's kingdom of light, now we have authority to operate and bring light into the darkness. And so, but anyway, I just wanted to say that what was the last thing? The sword of the Spirit, yeah. So that the Word of God, we need to become familiar with it, do it so that we can be effective soldiers of light. Okay. So, yeah. I think that's about it there. Let me see. Okay, so I just want to make sure. Okay, so we are ambassadors for God. Just wrapping up here. We're ambassadors for God. There's a war going on. Kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. We represent God's kingdom. So let's act like it. Okay? God has put his hope in his children. It says this in Romans 8. He is hoping that we will walk in everything that he provided, so that we can free people from the kingdom of darkness into his light. Okay.
Thanks for listening to this audio. If you'd like more information or audio teachings, please visit our website at www.livingavision.org. That's www.livingavision.org. We're always looking for people who want to work together to make a real impact in the world and in the lives of those around them. So if you're someone like that, We'd love to hear from you.